Banking has stood still for decades. Slow, clunky, and designed around its own convenience, not yours. Mercury was built to end that. Fast, elegant, and works the way you'd expect best-in-class software to work. No fighting outdated systems. No nickel and diming. Visit Mercury.com to apply in minutes and experience the difference for yourself. Mercury is a fintech company, not an FDIC-insured bank. Banking services provided through Choice Financial Group and Column NA, members FDIC.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Imagining Mark Walters, like, because that's what they're doing, right? They're talking to all these people, and they're asking them what they do for their job and what value they bring to their job. And Mark Walters sits down in a meeting with Tim Harris. All right, Tim, what's your like overall outlook for what you need to do with your job? And Tim like kicks back, puts his feet on the table, and he says, I don't know how to do dick. We're the Lakers. And like, you know, 15 minutes later, Tim gets an email from Mark Walter and his people. Hey, man, I think we're going to go in a different direction.
We really want to give you a farewell tour. We want to make sure that you go out on the right terms.
And look, like, I do think it, like, in the interest of fairness, Tim did do a lot of good for the Lakers. This TV deal that has become a significant advantage for the Lakers that I think it's gone underutilized because we have seen their cap, like the amount of the cap that they use or their overall roster cost shrink as everybody else's TV deals has gone away. But the Spectrum TV deal, Tim Harris was very active in that deal. And that was a monster deal for the Lakers that has really bolstered them as an organization. Now, I do kind of wonder, as we approach the end of that deal, Tim Harris stepping away might signal that, like, he's like, I don't know how this one's going to go, guys.
Next deal's on the next guy.
But yeah, like I do think that like there are positive aspects of and like he's been there for.
But again, how much credit do you get for that? Years? If your stance for getting the TV deal was like, we're the Lakers, people will give us a TV deal.
Yeah, he was right. But like, he's been there for 35 years. He's been a part of big, you know, decisions that have been made that have led the Lakers to where they were, you know, at their highest points as well. But I do think this is overwhelmingly a step in the right direction. And like, you know, look, like I remain somewhat skeptical as far as like whether or not Rob actually brings in people who could take credit away from Rob Pelinka. But I do think that this pretty Harris, tell me if you think I'm reading this wrong, but this feels like I don't think Jeannie would tell Tim Harris, hey, you have to step aside.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I do wonder, I actually don't know how old he is offhand. I do wonder if he was just sort of getting close
Jeannie's
to retirement.
Age, they dated, right? So,
yeah. Well, probably. Yeah, I don't know. I just think that this, you know, this might signal he's how old?
Yeah, I think 64.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, that's right around retirement age. Good for him. You know, it's like, I think we all hope to hang it up by 65, like if you can. So, you know, This is a sensible, like, probably time for him. And, you know, hey, like, the Lakers get to get someone new in there, and, like, it gets to start these changes in the organization in maybe, like, a place that, you know, again, I'm not saying that this happened because I don't know that this happened, but, like, if Jeannie was given a choice between, it's like, hey, you can keep Tim or Rob, like, she's probably picking Rob. And, you know, Mark Walter is going to get to make his impact on business first, which is, like, probably not what fans would want. But it is, like, you know, it is a sign that I think that there are going to be bigger, more, like, trend setting type of changes, and more like people trying to figure out, like, okay, how much can we juice this thing? How much can we put this into overdrive? And how much can we stop relying on just, like, everybody likes the Lakers? Like, no, people aren't going to be Clippers fans.
Yeah. Put differently, a lot of the changes that we all want from the Lakers cannot take place with the Tim Harris's of the world still there.
Yeah.
You know, and Tim Harris being told, or I don't think this is a decision he makes of his own volition. I think typically you stay with
this
the Lakers.
This does feel very, very like you can retire or we can fire you.
The fact that you know, we haven't gotten any clarity on it one way or the other kind of indicates to me that, like, it is kind of a mutual and maybe not so mutual, like, hey, yeah, we're going in this direction.
We're letting you make it say it's mutual.
Yeah. And now look, and that might be in no small part because of the ill will that, like, Janie felt to the Lakers by them just firing her, you know?
Yeah.
And that like, to the people that Jeannie actually cares about, they do get this opportunity to resign, you know?
Yeah. The inner circle is going to get to save face. Like, the other people got red weddinged.
Yeah. All right. Segueing awkwardly. I don't know any other way to do this, but, the other part of this that, I find myself whenever I start to see some of this kind of solidifying or clarifying, it makes me, like, it's almost bittersweet because I wish we would have gotten this earlier in LeBron's Lakers tenure, because I just think, like, if the Lakers, especially if, like, Adam Silver doesn't come down hard on the Clippers for their cap circumvention, like, the Lakers are about to enter.
By the way, such a bummer Kawhi did not win All-Star MVP and have to get it presented to him by Adam Silver.
and Steve Ballmer.
I was rooting so hard for, like, that, like, how awkward that exchange would have been.
I was like, if he would have won that All-Star MVP, would Steve Ballmer have taped another aspiration deal to the bottom of the trophy?
What if he just took it away from him on stage? He's like, this is being rescinded. It's like when they take away your Heisman for impermissible benefits. They're like, we're wiping this All-Star MVP from the record. You cheater.
Or, like, Kawhi won All-Star MVP, but he was playing for, like, unidentified NBA team. Kind of like what they do with, like, Russia, right? In the Olympics, where it's like
unincorporated basketball team. Just says Kawhi Leonard, NBA participant.
He's just there. I don't know how he got there. But yeah, so the LeBron aspect of all of this is something that, like, I find myself kind of, like, wishy-washy over, because, like, I do think that LeBron is owed a lot more gratitude than it appears he has been getting. Especially, like, whether it's from Lakers fans, whether it's from the actual Lakers, like, and I think he has felt that. And I think that's why his future with
the
team
matters
is so
more from the actual Lakers, you know, like, you'd think they would know a little better, even if there was the, like, fandom is not meant to be rational and assign credit to, you know, who it's actually, like, divide up the causal pie and be like, this is the fairest way to do that. But, like, you'd think the Lakers would be a little more professional than that.
Yeah. And so, like, the way that I kind of wanted to talk about this with you, Harrison, is the Lakers are entering this upcoming season, as anybody who has ever spoken to Rob Pelinka will tell you, with $50-ish million in cap space. You don't arrive there without multiple years of planning. and staying disciplined to that plan and not wavering off course by any singular stretch. So like we just saw this with the Clippers, where like they are very, you know, laser focused on 2027 cap space. So they told James Harden, you're not going to get your extension. Where do you want to go? And this upcoming summer, they're going to say to Kawhi Leonard, you're not going to get an extension. Do you want to write out your contract here, or where do you want to go that would give you a better chance of getting you a contract? And they traded Ivica Zubats, and they're going down into where they're entering this teardown rebuild with 2027 in mind. And so like the Lakers are nearing, like they are basically at the finish line of this plan of opening up their books for this summer. And that would then inherently mean that for multiple seasons of LeBron's prime, his extended prime, a prime that he has worked his ass off to extend, the Lakers have been hyper-focused on the summer after he takes off. And that's kind of what you just said and what I mean by like LeBron deserved better from them on this. And that, and I think that's part of why nobody really knows what LeBron is going to do after this season. And I think if the Lakers, rather than drafting, not even saying that like, oh man, you drafted Jalen Huchefino and that was a bust, but rather than drafting anybody in that spot and attaching that draft pick to the expiring money that they had going into that draft, you would have more to show for the LeBron 80 era.
And you literally would have more you could have done almost anything with the Jalen Hood Shafino pick, and it would have been better than what they actually did.
Yes. Yeah. And like I remember they were linked to Kyle Kuzma for a couple of those off seasons. He would have helped. I know he's pretty bad now, but like he has been fine and fairly productive the last couple of years. He would have helped a lot more than Jalen did.
And I also think Kuz is pretty good at sniffing out a hopeless situation and being like, you know, like versus like one where it's like, okay, it's time to play serious basketball versus like, okay, yeah, this is a carnival. As we saw in Washington.
And now with the Giannis-less Bucks, right? Like,
yeah,
that's a joke of an NBA team. And so like, but you know, Miles Turner is somebody that they were linked to with expiring money. Buddy Hield was somebody that they were linked to with Buddy, like any number of these other options that they could have had. The Lakers basically chose door C, because it made them cheaper and because it kept intact this summer's cap space. And I think, not only would you have more to show for the end of the LeBron and AD era, but you also would have been better set up, I think, for the beginning of the Luka era. And yeah, and I think like
role part players of the reason LeBron would be able to help Luka, you know, provided they were still upright and playing.
They have a lot in common. Yeah. And but like even more specifically as it pertains to like all of this kind of rampant speculation about LeBron's future, we wouldn't see that speculate. I think LeBron would probably be a lot more open to taking less to play here next year if you hadn't dicked him around for two straight years while you were focused on the summer after he was getting ready to take off. And I think a lot of this stuff is connected.
And I think that the Lakers do deserve some level of credit for that planning, like you're saying, like that is a multi-year effort. But I also think that some of it, like I don't want to misassign as like a grand plan what was more of just like, hey, the Rob Pelinka strategy of we're going to kick the can down the road. You can't judge this team yet, where it's like, you know, well, you know, we don't want to give up our young developing cost controlled players for like a rental like Kyle Kuzma or something like that. And then it's like you draft Jalen Huchefino and like cut him basically after like a year and a half. I know they salary dumped him, but essentially just like got rid of him for nothing. And you know, it just go and the Dalton Connect thing, same thing. It was like, hey, you know, like we gotta wait till the draft. The Lakers will have this many picks they can trade on draft night. And then it's like, well, they couldn't pass on Dalton Connect falling all the way to them. And then that pick works out like horribly. And so some of this has been like mismanagement that sort of like, and then pivoting to like a better plan of like, okay, we just happen to have all of this cap space coming off the books at this point. And so let's like really lean into that. And like, let's not double down on a bad hand and like give LeBron, you know, like the $70 million extension that he wants, just because that's what we've done in the past. But it is, like, you know, I do think, as I've been saying, I feel like we've had a version of this conversation fairly frequently this year. Your plan cannot just be, once we stop paying LeBron, we're just going to be better off because we're going to have all that cap space. Like, you have to actually use that cap space well. If that cap space is used to sign Tobias Harris, then I'm sorry, that wasn't a good plan. And you wasted like a year of like LeBron's, you know, not prime, but extended sort of downslope where he's like still very close to the peak of his powers when it really matters. And, you know, you wasted that so that you could have the space to sign like Tobias Harris.
Yeah. Well, I'm pulling this up now. Because I've just been laughing at this basically since it was brought to my attention, but like, you had this tweet from Chris Haynes from February of 24, yeah, right? That, like, here's the tweet. The probable path for the Los Angeles Lakers is standing pat at trade deadline with potential to acquire another star player in the offseason when armed with 3 first-round picks, league sources tell NBA on TNT. Harrison, that was, like, 2 employers ago for Chris Haynes. And you can – and when it was first, like, presented, he was like, oh, like – I legit thought that I had missed a Haynes tweet, you know, about this current deadline, because there's the 3 picks to point to, there's cap flexibility, all that stuff.
This is Rob's MO, is always like, you know, he gets the word out afterward. Like, these are when the Rob leaks are always the like, well, we're going to have this many picks in the summer. And, you know, like the hope springs eternal. And then, you know, once we get to the summer, it's like, well, you know, we want at least half a season before we can really judge this team at the trade deadline. We want to judge their strengths and weaknesses against NBA teams and then decide if they're worth investing, you know, these future picks in.
Well, and like, yeah, like, you know, we got I don't know if you saw it, but Dave McMenamin wrote about this for ESPN today, right?
Yeah.
And it's the same thing.
That's where the Tobias Harris name came from.
Yeah. And well, it's just like, I keep on seeing these things, and yes, there is value in telling your audience what the plan is for this upcoming summer. But I wish in any of these pieces or any of those tweets that we've seen over the years that present the plan here moving forward, I wish at any point there was a but, right? Because I think there's a very important but in all of these statements where it's like, yeah, that's Rob's plan for this summer. But I feel like we should all be able to point out, but he has had this exact plan before. And if we've seen him willing to work towards cap space 2 years down the line during LeBron's prime, what's to stop him from working towards cap space in 2029 in the middle of Luka's prime? Like, what's to stop him from doing now? What's to actually stop him is Mark Walter stepping in and being like, okay, no, get the fuck out of here. You know, like that's what would actually stop him from doing that. And I think that is an aspect of this that is worthy of being pointed out. But I still say that like that but is something that should be like more attention should be spent to, because think about what arriving at cap space this year has cost. The opportunity cost has been. It means that you didn't maximize the end of AD and LeBron when all it took for AD and LeBron to make the Western Conference Finals was swapping out Russell Westbrook for like mid-tier role players. You know, had you done that earlier, you would have had another run to the Western Conference Finals with LeBron and AD, probably at the very least. And if you would have leveraged those better role players into and used their expiring contracts with draft picks, that would have given LeBron and AD an even better chance at postseason success. So your opportunity cost is, you know, waiting out the LeBron and AD era. And they got lucky that Luka Doncic fell in their laps. Because now the opportunity cost is last year's postseason where they didn't have a viable chance. You had Jackson Hayes as starting center. So you basically sat out that postseason.
Which, to get Luka, I think is a reasonable sacrifice to make.
What's that?
To get Luka is a reasonable sacrifice to make, I think.
What?
Like this roster doesn't make any sense going into the postseason. Like that's one where I'm like, okay, I understand. Like, you make this move and you'll figure that out later. Like, that's something that you can't pass up.
Somewhat, yeah. I mean, like, it just depends on the extent to which you believe whether or not they were trading for Mark Williams in good faith. But
yeah,
I think we can digress. And then, but then this year, you have Luka for a whole season. You have LeBron for a whole season. And you have Austin at the contract that you had him. And once again, you punted. So basically, the Lakers, it's like the New Orleans, the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl when they had like 8 straight punts, you know? And fortunately, because of the CBA, the Pats, like at the end of that year, had a chance at that game, right? It just so happened that Drake May threw that interception and the game was over after that. But because of the CBA and because of the mediocrity that the CBA forces on everybody, the league has actually remained in a spot where the Lakers, I think, have a viable chance at competing while they have Luka and Austin next year. But I hope that Lakers fans and everybody listening to this and everybody paying attention to the way that the Lakers have moved the last couple of years, I hope that they're all like paying close enough attention at the opportunity cost of this cap space here and what should actually be on the line if this cap space plan isn't executed to its fullest fruition. Because if it isn't, then you punted all of those transaction windows to get here. And if you still don't have a hyper competitive roster on the other side of it, then what was all of that for?
Yeah.
You know, and I think what Tim Harris's departure at the end of the season hopefully signals is that contentment to just punt for the sake of unanimity within the front office and those kumbaya sentiments where, like, I would hope that somebody along the way was like, hey, why are we punting with LeBron and AD? And rather than looking at that person being like, stop being a dickhead, Jesse. Rather than looking at that person and being like, why are you ruffling feathers? They would actually more take that into account as like, actually, no, this is a legitimate opportunity cost that we should be taking into greater. And like one of the things that like is out there is that like, there is internally a comparison drawn between LeBron and Kobe. And I think more specifically, the ghost of Kobe. And I think those differences between LeBron's relationship with the Lakers and how people feel about Kobe post-passing, like that has given themselves the leeway internally to just be like, well, he's not Kobe, so like we don't. But just think about like what the Lakers did at the end of Kobe's prime to try to give him one more chance at a championship, right? They traded for Dwight. They brought in Steve Nash. They had that roster that like, yeah, led to a horrendous season and like one of the more frustrating years of our time.
The plan did not work.
Yeah. But it's like I respect a hell of a lot more.
Yeah.
An error of commission rather than an error of omission. And that's what we've seen for the last like 4 or 5 years here, where it's just like, yeah, it's championship or bust. And since we don't see a direct path to a championship, we're just going to continue to bust. And I just don't respect that approach to team building.
Yeah. I also think that, you know, going back to the Dwight Mayer year, like you're never going to see Rob Pelinka almost fighting with his starting center as they're being like ejected from a game. Like you were like, say what you will about Mitch. Like he cared, you know, he was competitive. He was not afraid to tell players like it is. We're like, I don't know that Rob does that, you know, certainly not with guys who like he thinks matters. He's just going to tell them like, hey, you're great. I love you, Luka. And all that kind of stuff. I also,
behind the scenes, say, like,
you made some good points during that soliloquy. I have not been able to focus.
That was a long soliloquy. Since, my bad.
Well, no, I just was going to say, I have not been able to focus since you said that a plan that was partially formulated by Kurt Rambis did not have enough butts in it.
The Harrison, that's good efficiency.
I ranted and rambled for fucking 25 minutes there, and you jump in with a 30-second Kurt Rambis butt joke.
That's what I'm here for, you know? The only reason I still do this pod is to do Kurt Rambis butt jokes. Once he announces his retirement, mutual parting of ways, I don't know that I'm still going to be here. You're going to have some cap space to use.
Do you think if Kurt
Rambis, like, you know, can you replace your balding, aging superstar with someone that's better? Or, like, is it going to be, like, are you going to whiff? Are you going to sign the Tobias Harris of Lakers Twitter? I don't know.
I'm going to have so much cap space and 3 first-round picks to maybe work with. Only specifically on draft day, but still.
Bye, everyone.
I've realized lately that the products I use every single morning genuinely affect how I feel for the rest of the day. If something feels heavy, greasy, overly makeup-y, or complicated, I just stop reaching for it. That's why I've been loving Primally Pure's new Sun Serum Tinted SPF. It gives mineral SPF 30 protection and enough coverage to make my skin look even and healthy, but it still looks like my skin. It has this really fresh, lived-in glow, and their lip and cheek tint has become one of those products I keep throwing on throughout the day because it makes me look instantly more awake and put together in like 10 seconds. The whole vibe just feels very effortless. Skin first, clean girl beauty. Products that enhance your skin. If you've been wanting your routine to feel lighter, simpler, and more natural this summer, definitely check out Primally Pure's Sun Serum and Lip and Cheek Tints.